From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of April 2017. Happy birthday to my brother Jay. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. He'll also help us explore this morning's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report. We'll discuss the agricultural energies with Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services and hear all about yesterday's USDA crop progress report from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. And as we close out our time together, we'll look at the weather forecast, too, with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 11th day of April. Tomorrow is our big day, the fundraising marathon, 26.2 hours. And if you've not gotten involved yet, then tomorrow you need to be ready to go. I'll give you all the numbers then. If you want to get ahead of the schedule, and we'd kind of like you to do that, willpledge.org. I like the $120 level. Now let's turn our attention to what happened in Chicago and what came out of Washington, D.C. today with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
So let's go through some of the numbers that came from the United States Department of Agriculture, and I'll kind of give you the summary set of numbers for the ending stocks. Corn now at, 2.32 billion bushels. The soybeans at 445 million. And the wheat at 1.1559 billion bushels. Corn was unchanged. Soybean ending stocks went up 10 million bushels. And the wheat went up 30 million bushels. Was this about what the trade expected?
You know, it pretty much was. If it was, it was just the U.S. numbers, you wouldn't hardly known we had a report today because they were hanging right in there. I think it was the world numbers that, we saw big increases by CONAB this morning. We, in fact, raised a little bit more than they did on the Brazilian crop. And so I think that's where maybe later in the day we saw a little bit of the bounce back that maybe these are the highest numbers we're going to probably see out of South America and what we're looking at. And we're going to be looking at weather now, Todd, and it's sort of wet in a lot of places.
Yeah, so just out of South America, thinking back to the beginning of the season, it seems to me we were thinking about 98 and then 100 and 102 million metric tons and then 104 and 106 and 108 was the last time around. And here we are at 111 million metric tons. That must be a monster of a crop that's coming out of Brazil.
Well, you know, it's just amazing how good that they have done this year compared to how poor they did last year. And, what a turnaround. But Brazilian farmers are being a little tight-fisted. Their prices, being they're having yields like that, aren't very good. And the farmers really aren't making money at it down there. So they've started to pull in and not market as many as they had and along the way. And, very surprisingly, at the end of the day today, here we see not the closes, but the last trades of the day. We're all green in the beans.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about those numbers as they were finishing up for the day.
Well, like I say, we saw the May, the last trade was 942 and a quarter. That was up a half of the November. We're looking at 951, up a cent and a quarter. And I think that we saw a lot of people that just maybe with the number thinking as big as it was, and now we get into a little bit of a weather market, a little bit of enthusiasm of maybe what was said with the Chinese president and President Trump, with the idea that we might try to do a little more to balance our trade deficit with them, that there might be some more grain purchases or things allowed that way. We saw a couple of advisory firms that stepped in and took some of their short $10 calls and long $9 puts. They took about 20% of their coverage off today, even at these levels, and took about 45 cents home.
You mentioned rain in the forecast for the United States, on and off a series of storms that have been coming across from west to east. That's been holding up the beginning of the planting season across the Midwest for the corn.
Yeah, planting progress was right where it should be for now, but I think the next 2 weeks we're going to start falling quite a bit behind. I was talking to Dan Zwick earlier today, and he'd had 5 inches here over the last two, three hours this morning or something, and he was worried about floating weight in Texas. But we had an 1.75 inches last night. A lot of other places continue to get rain, and it looks like every 3 to 4 days, well, it looks like we're going to get some rain coming across. I know that a lot of the big weather firms are saying we won't see much of the corn crop planted until after about April 22nd to 25th, and then we'll have to look farther because they aren't very accurate past that level. But we are seeing rain delays.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us today. We'll talk with you again next week.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Just a couple of agricultural news stories for the day, both related to the Farm Bill. Congressman Rodney Davis, a Republican from Illinois who sits on the Agriculture Committee, has been thinking about the Trump administration as it's related to the Farm Bill and the big cuts that the skinny budget that came out of Donald Trump's office proposed for USDA, some 21% on discretionary spending. He was asked whether or not the Trump administration would extend those cuts into mandatory spending on, for instance, crop insurance or the Farm Safety Net, ARC and PLC.
We certainly don't think so now, and we certainly hope not. The last farm bill was estimated by the Congressional Budget Office that we were only going to save $23 billion in mandatory spending over the life of that bill when it passed in 2014. That bill and that $23 billion was actually the largest spending cut to mandatory spending in my entire first term in Congress. But in reality, in less than 3 years, those projections have shown how wrong the Congressional Budget Office was. We're now projected to save $104 billion because of policies that we changed in the 2014 Farm Bill. So we've got a lot of success to tout when it comes to agriculture. And as we move into the debate on the next Farm Bill, those of us who serve on the House Ag Committee, those of us who are involved in crafting the next bill, will continue to tout that success. And that's why I think you'll see a willingness to listen on behalf of the White House, on the part of the White House. And that's the message we're going to continue to send to them.
And Davis says if he and other members of the House and Senate Agricultural Committees get their way, the next farm bill will be put in place sooner rather than later. That's why they've already started the legislative work.
That started now because of the leadership of Mike Conaway, who wants to get this bill reauthorized and out of the House before it expires, like the last one where we had to go extension after extension after extension.
Rodney Davis sits on the House Agriculture Committee and is a Republican from Illinois. One other agricultural news story for the afternoon, this related to the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP. It could see a few changes in the 2018 Farm Bill. Senator John Thune has laid out his plan for what the program should look like in a new marker bill calling for 30 million acres to be enrolled. That's an increase of 25% over the current cap, and for more flexibility in the use of the land, including the ability to graze cattle and harvest cover vegetation. The South Dakota Republicans' marker bill looks to be the first on the issue, though, given the interest from others, especially House Ag Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson. He's a Democrat from Minnesota. It's unlikely to be the last of the proposed CRP policy changes. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This week, the United States Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service, for the first time for the growing season, has included a corn planted figure. It shows farmers across the nation have now planted 3% of the corn crop. That compares with 3% on average and 4% last year. The condition of the hard red winter wheat crop looks like this across the nation. 9% is now headed. That compares to 6% on the rolling five-year average, with 34% of the crop in fair condition, 46% in good, and 7% in excellent condition. Now, here are the statisticians from across the Midwest with updates from their states.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region, with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending April 9, 2017. Rain prevented field work early in the week ending April 9, 2017, but by weekend, many producers were able to get into the fields. Statewide, there were 1.8 days rated suitable for field work. Field work activities included anhydrous, fertilizer, and manure applications, and some CRP burning as part of mid-contract management. Where conditions allowed, field cultivation also took place. Farmers also prepared equipment for planting as they waited for soil to warm up and dry out. Topsoil moisture levels were rated 4% short to very short, 72% adequate, and 24% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 6% short to very short, 75% adequate, and 19% surplus. 17% of the state's oats crop has been planted, just over 1 week behind the 5-year average. Oats emerged reached 4%, 3 days behind average. Pasture condition was rated 3% very poor, 7% poor, 27% fair, 54% good, and 9% excellent. Calving continues with no reported issues. Feedlots remain muddy, but are improving. That's the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending April 9, 2017. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, April 9th. Warm and wet weather continue to cross Illinois, making calving conditions difficult and delaying planting. Temperatures averaged 51.7 degrees, which was 4.3 degrees above normal, and rainfall averaged 1.52 inches, which was 8-tenths of an inch above normal. Days suitable for field work averaged less than one full day across the state. Topsoil moisture supplies increased and are now rated as 4% short, 70% adequate, and 26% surplus. Subsoil moisture is now 8% short, 76% adequate, and 16% surplus. Soil temperatures ranged from the low 50s in northern areas to the mid 50s in southern areas. Corn planting is now 1% complete, behind last year's 2% and the 5-year average of 5%. Winter wheat is now 2% headed compared to 3% normally. Oats planting is 36% finished compared to 40% for the 5-year average. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 6% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 72% good to excellent. Pasture conditions were reported as 3% poor, 23% fair, and 74% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office with a weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending April 9th, 2017. Warmer and drier than normal conditions improved days suitable for field work to 2.7 days during the week. Activities included fertilizer application, manure hauling, and tilling fields. Planting activities were limited to lighter soils. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 1% very short, 3% short, 79% adequate, and 17% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 2% short, 81% adequate, and 17% surplus. 7% of Minnesota's oat acreage was planted, that's 5 days behind the 5-year average, but the same level as last year. There were scattered reports of spring wheat and barley planting in the southern two-thirds of the state. Pasture condition rated 3% very poor, 23% poor, 33% fair, 38% good, and 3% excellent. Respondents reported pastures as turning green but too short for grazing at this point. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Janice Pressberry with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 9, 2017. Cold and wet weather continued to delay field work. Average temperatures ranged from 43 to 58 degrees and from 3 degrees below to 6 degrees above normal. The lowest recorded temperature for the week was 26 degrees, the highest 82 degrees. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.26 to 2.37 inches. Pastures, hay, and wheat fields are greening up. Some top dressing of wheat occurred last week. Winter wheat was reported on average in good to excellent condition with reports of some yellowing in flooded low-lying fields. Some rivers have been reported as above flood stage. Livestock were reported on average to be in good condition. Field conditions have been unsuitable for work, forcing farmers to focus on indoor activities. Activities for the week included continued work on equipment, moving grain from bins, and visiting FSA offices. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending April 9, 2017. This is Janice Presbury reporting.
This is the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, now joined by Stephen Plant. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Hey, Stephen, thanks so much for being with us. Give me your assessment of what's been happening in the world's agricultural and energy markets.
Well, in the energy markets particularly, you've seen some real sharp moves here since we last talked a month ago. The market has recovered strongly in both crude and the products, which was in line with, I think, pretty much our assessment of the market's limited downside potential based on the belief that Saudi Arabia would move strongly toward extending the agreement and that demand itself would move along to the point where we would see some favorable movement in terms of overall stock levels. That has happened both in the U.S. and on a global basis. Saudi Arabia did announce today that they were actually willing to extend the agreement out another 6 months, which was a point of uncertainty here a month ago. In addition, we have seen the stock levels, particularly in the U.S., come down in terms of crude oil stocks. And on a global basis, you have seen some of the stock overhang get drawn down as well, particularly in terms of Iran, where they have sold off some of those stocks that they had afloat and have actually sold them, because their own production is not coming on as strongly as they had hoped. I think overall, a lot of the things are setting up for still a quite constructive movement in the market, particularly if the economic forces that we've talked about start to show good improvement here over the next quarter.
Given the price rise, does it set the stage for an even bigger rally as we move into the driving season for the summer months?
Well, you've seen some of that already in terms of the gasoline rallying as much as 10% from a month ago. But I think there is some potential for gasoline demand and overall demand to be stronger. In that, I think many people are going to remain in the U.S. and actually concentrate their vacations in the U.S. rather than going outside the U.S., given some of the problems we've had.
Do you see increased gasoline demand across the United States or the domestic usage for the year then?
Yes, I do expect that to happen. And we are slightly above year ago levels. And I think it will be, I think overall demand for crude and products will be stronger than what is currently forecast.
Thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
My pleasure.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the Farming World. Tomorrow's our marathon fundraiser, 26.2 hours. You can help us out right now and get us a good start on that at willpledge.org. Or during the day tomorrow, make sure that you're there because we're looking to raise $100,000. Now, we're joined by Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks for being with us, Don. Tell me about the weather forecast for farmers here in the Midwest. I think they're getting anxious to plant corn.
Well, I tell you, it's looking very much, I guess, like it should as we get towards the middle of April. Temperatures are going to be pretty mild across many areas of the Midwest, and at least through the rest of this week, I see some good opportunities to get out there. Temperatures will be mild, and yes, we've got some opportunities for some showers and thunderstorms, but not a soaker. Nothing that's going to be slow moving and swamping us with rain for a 2 or 3 day period, at least here through the rest of this week and into the start of the weekend. Now, as we get towards next week, middle of next week, looks like a little cooler, more of a wet weather pattern, but overall, typical April weather looks to be developing pretty much coast to coast.
Are you in agreement with some of the rest of the folks that we talked to that most of the problems have been alleviated in the hard red winter wheat growing areas?
I certainly think that they have been reduced significantly, and the prospects for more rain in those areas looks good here in the coming 2 weeks. So we may very well be out of the woods in those areas. The last 3 or 4 weeks in those areas have really been a sharp contrast to what they had for most of the winter, and very well timed.
Both the U.S. and Brazilian governments today raised the size of the expected harvest of soybeans in Brazil. Roughly speaking, 111 million metric tons. That's up from 108 last month, and it started out, I don't recall whether it was 98 or 102, but somewhere in that range. So this is a big crop that has simply gotten bigger. Does the weather support that, and will they be able to finish up their harvest, which is almost complete, I think, now in Brazil under good conditions?
Yeah, I think for the remaining crops in the ground, the weather pattern is going to continue to favor a good situation for that maturing crop in the areas where it hasn't been harvested. In regards to harvesting, it looks like there may be a few wet areas in some of the southern and central areas of those soybeans where there may be some delays, but right now the bumper crop looks to have a little bit more of a boost before it's all done, as very favorable conditions will continue.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Sunday is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.